It's Arts ID on KRCB Radio. What's more fun than a big Broadway musical about a major worldwide religion filled with profanity and splashy song and dance numbers? Well, how about a conversation between two former fundamentalists dissecting the original cast recording of that same Broadway musical? Well, in our next segment, David Templeton is joined by actor and educator Eric Thompson, who teaches religious studies at SRJC, and they're talking about The Book of Mormon, the hit musical by Matt Stone and Trey Parker, the creators of South Park. Last month, the show won the Tony Award for the Best New Musical, and the cast recording shot to number 3 on the Billboard charts, the first time since Hair in 1969 that a Broadway musical has made it to the top 10. David and Eric begin by listening to one of the show's catchiest early tunes, 2x2.
Guys, the most important time of a Mormon kid's life is his mission. A chance to go out and help heal the world, that's my mission. Soon I'll be off in a different place, helping the whole human race. I know my mission will be something incredible.
2x2 is a celebration of the Mormon missionaries being chosen, given their assignments, given their partners, their destinations, and they're being sent out on the mission. And it has all of the excitement, all of the anticipation, and the wonder that I imagine. And I've talked to a lot of Mormon missionaries. I invite them in. I'm one of those people, I always invite them in, and I talk to them as long as they'll stay and talk to me. And I think that the song really captures and does a wonderful job and a very sympathetic job of exploring the experience of a 19-year-old Mormon kid being hooked up with someone they didn't previously know and being sent to Uganda or various other places. And the kind of the sheltered naivete with which they experience this, I just think is beautifully done in
yes,
the song.
Sir. Your brother will be Elder Cunningham.
It's me! Hello! Oh, hi!
And your mission location is Uganda!
Uganda? Uganda? Cool! Where is that?
Africa!
Oh boy! Like Lion King!
2x2, and now it's time to go. Our paths have been revealed, so let's start the show. Our shirts are clean and pressed, and our haircuts are precise.
We are the army of the church.
We are the army of the church. We are the army of the Church of Jesus!
In the later one, the baptism song, that's fun because you have a conversion, right? And so you have the closest thing there is in the piece to some semblance of success from the point of view of the missionary. And also it has a lot of the double entendre sexual thing, you know, but doing it for the first time with a girl and so on.
They are coming to it completely earnestly when they talk about their excitement of getting to do this for the first time. They're talking about baptism. She is really trying to find an experience of God, something transcendent that explains her weird world to her. And also, I think it's just, it's probably the sexiest song about salvation I've ever heard.
Yeah, agreed.
I'm about to do it for the first time, and I'm gonna do it with a girl, a special girl, who makes my heart kind of flutter, makes my eyes kind of blur. I can't believe I'm about to baptize her.
He will baptize me. He will hold me in his arms, and he will baptize me right in front of everyone, and it will set me free. When he looks into my sees just how much I love being back.
things that it did for me was that it set up the clash of cultures, the American Mormon missionary boys coming to Uganda.
And it really sets up the world that they're in and how the realities of life in Africa are so far removed from anything that these two 19-year-olds and the Book of Mormon can really offer them.
Right.
What I find interesting about this work is it is very critical, pointing to truthful problems with this particular form of faith, while at the same time accepting that some people benefit from it to some degree. The song Salt Lake Kasiti, in which Nabalungi is imagining this magical world in which he can go to, it is almost without irony, that song. She is suddenly realized that there might be something that could offer her life something meaningful. And it's sung with such sweetness and earnestness, kind of like the baptism song, that you start to think, well, okay, here I am laughing at it, but I'm kind of glad she's happy.
We are aware of the fact that people do believe this story. People do convert. It's a fast-growing religion, and people convert to it all over the world. It's fast-growing in Africa. As are other forms of Western styles of Christianity, like Pentecostalism. And I really appreciate and like that they communicate to us as an audience why people do that, what makes that work, that it does speak to people, it resonates with people, and it makes sense. They do a really good job of showing that it makes sense for some people to believe it, buy into it.
Expand on that. Why does it make sense for some people to buy into religion?
Religion offers people an alternative world, and sometimes people are maybe not, they're not even aware that they're looking for an alternative world, but people often are. And I remember, I'm speaking partly from my own experience, I converted to fundamentalist Christianity when I was 17. And for me, it was something that was radically alternative to the reality that I knew, which I experienced as drab, drudgery. And I think that that's one of the things that this does. So the soundtrack of the Book of Mormon, with the missionaries going to Uganda and stepping up to this culture, these people who are living their lives, everybody they know has AIDS, they've had their genitals mutilated, you know, as children, they have all of these conditions, which are the only conditions that they know. They kind of are resigned to it, but this offers something that is radically other, radically different.
I know you're really depressed, well, with all your AIDS and everything, but there is an answer in Christ.
You see, this book can help us.
I just told a lie.
No, wait, I didn't lie.
I just used my imagination. And it worked.
You're making things up again, Arnold.
But it worked, Dad.
You're stretching the truth again, and you know it.
Don't be a fibbing Fran Arnold.
Joseph Smith?
Because a lie is a lie.
It's not a lie.
You're making things up again, Arnold.
Oh, conscience.
You're taking the holy word and adding fiction.
Later on in the play and in the soundtrack, there is a moment where Elder Cunningham, attempting to interpret the Book of Mormon for these people that he has now come to know and come to understand the problems they're dealing with, when he starts making stuff up, he starts working AIDS and female circumcision and dysentery and a bunch of other things into the Book of Mormon, and for him it's where he grows as a person, and he's actually helping people. And then the next piece that is on the soundtrack is Joseph Smith, American Moses, when the villagers present what they have learned from him in a pageant. It is kind of reminiscent of The King and I, in which the concubines do the small house of Uncle Thomas from their perspective. And in this case, it just blows everything apart.
Yeah,
because it's so patently wrong, and yet it makes sense to them. It's kind of a weirdly joyous moment in the soundtrack.
It harkens to the Book of Mormon in its original publication. The Book of Mormon was published in 1830. And there are extant reviews from local newspapers of the Book of Mormon from that time that were published maybe 2-3 months after the Book of Mormon was published. And one of the things that that was said about it by one reviewer is that the Book of Mormon is like a commentary on all of the religious controversies of the time, theological controversies about, say, free will versus predestination, the meaning, the subtleties of the meaning of the Garden of Eden story. And so the Book of Mormon, as far as I've read, nobody seemed to even take seriously the idea that this was a translation from an ancient text. They thought Joseph Smith composed it, and they characterized it in this way, that he was making up this story in order to address and solve the problems of the day. And so, in a sense, the characters in the musical do the same thing.
I'm going to take you back in time to the United States. 1823, a small and poor village called Upstate, New York.
Upstate.
There was disease and famine.
So sick.
But also in this village lived a simple farmer who would change everything. His name was Joseph Smith.
Hi, yi, 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 Joseph Smith, American Moses. How praise be to Joseph, American prophet man.
My name is Joseph Smith.
This is where this play to me becomes significant, is it's doing more than just making an outrageous musical about something we are somewhat familiar with, the Book of Mormon. It's actually offering a rather juicy thing to chew on there. When Elder Cunningham makes up a new religion, essentially, is he doing a good thing? Is he doing a bad thing? Is he doing anything different than everybody has always done with religion all along?
Right, right. And that's a good question. And it's up to the audience to decide, to react to that. What do we do with that? Is it bad because it's a lie, because it's made up? Or is it good because it makes people feel good? How should we respond to it? Its principal value is that it shows us essentially one big component of what religion is. And these observations apply to religion in general, many specific religions.
There is evidently a moment late in the show where Nabalungi learns that Elder Cunningham has really made up a lot of the stuff that touched her. And so she has her first crisis of faith. And one of the other Africans says to her, "What? You didn't realize that this was all metaphor?"
Huh.
And she hadn't seen it as metaphor, but when she grasped it as stories that aren't supposed to be literal but have something to say in a metaphorical way, then she can come back to it and re-embrace it from that point of view.
One of the things that one of Joseph Smith's early biographers said was that Joseph Smith created the Mormon religion in the full light of history, with a paper trail, right? All the details of the history of it and the development of it came into existence at a time when we had newspapers and journalism and all kinds of ways that things were recorded, unlike earlier times, unlike other religions which developed in a time went out of the reach of such documentation. And so the story of the Mormon story provides a model that we can use by analogy to look at other productions of religion.
I believe that the Lord God created the universe. I believe that he sent his only son to die for my sins. And I believe that ancient Jews built boats and sailed to America. I am a Mormon. And a Mormon just believes. You cannot just believe partway. You have to believe in it all. My problem was doubting the Lord's will.
instead of standing tall. I can't allow myself to have any doubt. It's time to set my worries free. Time to show the world what Elder Price is about and share the power inside of me.
Religion is a hugely powerful thing. Most human beings in the world are religious to some description. And I think that religion often is dangerous when it exists in a situation, in a context where you're not allowed to make fun of it, where you're not allowed to laugh at it. And I think that the comedic elements of pieces like this force us to confront these and allow us to laugh at them, allow us to have some sort of ironic distance from all of the stuff that religion is about. You know, C.S. Lewis said that the best form of repentance is to laugh at yourself.
And the Book of Mormon, the musical, allows people an opportunity to do that.
I believe.
Well, we've been singing the songs from the Book of Mormon all day. That was David Templeton and Eric Thompson talking about the Book of Mormon.
And there's the power of theater right there. Theater does have a way of touching us and also challenging us.
And making us laugh a lot.
Well, thanks for listening to this special theater edition of Arts ID.
David Templeton was our host tonight.
Arts ID was produced and edited by Robin Pressman, with mixing and engineering by Mark Fuller.
You can hear all of this program again, or just segments of it, on our websites at krcb.org or at artsid.org.
We are Latter-day Saints.
Yeah.
We take life one day at a time.
Yeah.
When the chips are down, we know just what to say.
Just what to say.
The past may be in tatters, but today is all that matters. Because today is yesterday's
Would you like to baptize me?
Sure, yeah, that would be great.
Okay, let's do it.
What, you mean now?
Why not?
Well, to be honest, I've never done it before.
That's okay, neither have I.
Yes, that's true.
Do you know how to baptize someone into the church?
Sure, that's something we study over and over again at Mission Control Center.
Then please, Elder Cunningham, I want to be baptized. I swear to dedicate my life to the church.
Huh, okay. I just need a second to get ready.
Okay, I will get ready too.
I'm about to do it. For the first time. And I'm gonna do it with a girl. A special girl who makes my heart kind of flutter, makes my eyes kind of blur. I can't believe I'm about to baptize her.
He will baptize me. He holds me in his arms.
Her.
cleanse, I'll wash her free of sin. And it'll be so good, so I'm here to baptize her again.
Excuse me, I need another minute.
Never known a boy so gentle. One like him is hard to find, a special kind. It makes my heart kind of flutter like a moth in a cocoon. I hope he gets to baptize me soon.
I'm gonna baptize you. I'm through with all my stalling.
You're gonna baptize me. I'm ready to let you do it.
Lift will set free.
It's time to be immersed. And I'm so
ready. So how do we do it?
Well, I hold you like this.
Yeah.
And I lower you down.
Yeah.
And then I...
Oh! Oh!
I just baptized her. She got doused by Heavenly Father. I just baptized her. Good.
You baptized
never
me.
Fall like a champ.
Text you later.